It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 163 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
Carson and I both just wrapped up an awesome week of X-Wing at the Denver, Colorado System Open.
Yeah, it was a really fun weekend of X-Wing. Great to see you and the rest of the Minnesota guys who came out. And also just great to play a lot of games of X-Wing.
And even though neither Carson or I made that top 16 cut, we really had a good time there. Got to play a lot of great games of X-Wing. I really had a lot of fun this weekend. So for today's episode, we're going to talk about our experiences there. We're going to look a little bit and follow up on our last episode to see if the metagame was as settled as we thought and how we handled it. And we'll talk a little bit about what's doing well right now in Extended.
Right. And let's not extend this intro any longer. Let's just get right to it, Tim.
So the Denver System Open was held this past weekend, April 27th and 28th, in Denver, Colorado, which makes sense, which was pretty convenient for you, I guess.
Yep, just right down the street.
Some of us had to travel a little further, though. I am thankful that you were able to host me and some of the other Minnesota players. That was super cool.
Yeah, absolutely. This event was organized by Cascade Games, as most of the System Opens here in the U.S. are, with our excellent marshal being Ian Hamp. So shout out to Ian and the rest of our judge volunteers. They made it a really pleasant experience.
Yeah, and the whole event, I think, went very smoothly, at least from my perspective. There were no major hiccups throughout the day. I don't even think we didn't have a repairing on the main day, which I got used to at a lot of other big events at X-Wing. So it was cool to have one that ran pretty smoothly, especially since you have to play, 10 hours of X-Wing by the end of that day.
Yeah, one. I did wish we had one repair.
Well, we can get into that. But it was a big event. It was about close to 170 players for the main System Open event, extended format, obviously. And we played the six rounds of Swiss on day one. Anyone with a 5-1 or better record advanced to day two to play out those top. It was top 18 this time. So basic System Open stuff. But yeah, a lot of great X-Wing was had, and I think the whole event went very well.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely heard some players kind of grumbling before System Open. Oh, the extended metagame's not that fun. I would say quite the opposite. I had a great game in all of my matchups. Even when facing, a meta matchup, it's still a very good game. Dials and positioning still matter a lot.
Yeah, and I think we can both confidently say that it wasn't, as settled or unfair and extended, given that I think we were both playing hyperspace lists for the extended event, right?
Yep.
Maintaining that Radio TCX tradition of just not using that wide pool of cards that we have in extended. But I did want to talk about, let's look at, because last week's episode, we were talking about basically how to prepare for what you would perceive as a settled metagame. And I think there were really the two big factors we were looking at going into this event was the... our fear or the prevalence of the fat Han builds or those really souped up Han builds that are super reactive, use Kanan Jarrus to decide to move or not move, as well as the, continued dominance of the four Phantom builds. So I thought it'd be good to look at if we both had the experiences we expected to have from those kind of lead lists we were expecting.
Right, and both those lists were prevalent in Denver, but they weren't really the most successful builds.
Well, and I mean, there were a lot of four Phantom builds or builds with a lot of Phantoms in them. I was a little surprised not to see more Han Solo builds table to table. Maybe I just didn't get an accurate assessment because we didn't see really many Hans make it into the top 16 cut.
Right. There were a lot of Han Solos there. They just weren't all that successful.
Yeah. I mean, I never crossed paths with them in my Swiss rounds, so which I was a little bit thankful for because that's a hard matchup for a lot of people, and it's especially hard for my list.
I did play against two Han Solo builds, one in the main extended event and then one in the hyperspace trial on the Sunday. Didn't lose to either. When I talked about, figuring out how to fly against certain lists, you just really need to make sure you're always, keeping at least one firing arc on either of Han's positions. And, they have pretty anemic offense, so... eventually you'll whittle them down before your ships go away.
Yeah, but I mean, by the end of the day, though, those Phantom builds proved to be more successful than the Han builds, because I mean, I think we had in the top 16, there were, man, four or five lists that had Phantoms in them. Actually, more than that. It was like six or seven, right?
Right. We did still see the Phantoms be successful with six within the cut. Not all of them were the four Phantom builds. Some were just three Phantoms or just Whisper.
But, you know, still establishing that that is a very solid choice in the metagame right now. And it's a very intimidating list to play against. I had to match up against one of them. I'll talk about that later. But yeah, it's still something you really need to be watching out for and have a strategy for.
Right. And we look at, you know, approaching a narrow metagame, it seems like the Phantoms were a bigger driving force in that metagame. We saw a lot of other efficiency builds be just as successful as the Phantoms, lists that could really match those TIE Phantoms in their efficiency.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Rebel efficiency all over the place. I had to play against a couple of them, both in the main system open event and then the hyperspace trial on day two. And they were all over the place, and they're tough. A lot of B-Wings, a lot of U-Wings that are really hard to play around, especially with that Leia crew card, letting them stop multiple turns in a row. It's a different way you have to play against, and I mean, that ended up being what knocked me out of my hyperspace trial.
Right, and we saw that the important initiative was around that initiative four. You know, the Phantoms either don't have a bid or have like a 1 point bid. So, you know, any initiative four you take with, you know, at least a point of a bid can reposition against those Phantoms.
Which I think is cool to see in the metagame. We had, when second edition launched, there was such a focus on particularly initiative five or higher ships being so good. It's nice to see that the game is starting to trend down a little bit so that you can have more value. You be more willing to include those initiative four pilots, a lot of which have great abilities, but they just didn't fit in right when there were so many arc dodgy I-5s.
Absolutely. I do really enjoy when we have a metagame around a lower initiative. I think it opens it up to more options. And we saw players take some pretty diverse initiative four options and be successful.
One trend that, I mean, doesn't surprise me, it maybe bothers me a little bit, was the frequency that the new Gas Clouds obstacle token was being used. I'm pretty sure in most of my games during day one, because I brought three of the Gas Clouds because they were favorable to my arcs. But I think pretty much all my opponents chose them too. Yeah, I think all my opponents chose them too. I had a lot of games where there were just six Gas Clouds out on the field.
Most of my opponents brought Gas Clouds as well.
Yeah, I've got some mixed feelings about that, because obviously it suited well for my list, because I had a lot of those medium based ships that didn't reposition great. So it was nice to, you know, be able to fly over those without, you know, too big of a penalty. Or, you know, risk losing a shot if I just clip the corner of one. But at the same time, like, I think that's maybe not great for the health of the game.
I think it's terrible for the health of the game. You can't really fault any player for taking them. FFG provided him with those tools. But I think obstacles are the most interesting part of the game, and strategies around, you know, deploying those obstacles and maneuvering through them. I think it's some of the most interesting parts of X-Wing, and Gas Clouds very much negate a lot of that.
Well, yeah, and it makes things kind of awkward on a couple different dimensions. I think makes the game trend more towards just straight up jousting, just because you don't have to worry so much about the debris clouds. It also makes
which, you know, we're big fans of here.
Yeah. Oh yeah, huge fans of jousting on Radio TCX. Just check a couple episodes back. But it makes things hard too for when I'm flying a ship like Obi-Wan, which I really need to depend on arc dodging, because with that 7B title, yeah, I've got six hit points, but I've only got two agility dice, so if I get targeted even by just a couple ships a couple turns in a row, that'll just fall apart on me really quick. And the problem with the Gas Clouds is when I'm behind them, they provide a pretty decent defensive benefit, changing a blank to an evade, but my opponent also doesn't have to worry about flying over them. So if they've got cheaper ships with a lot of attack dice, they can go into positions that they wouldn't be able to do if it was something that would actually, you know, give them stress so they affect their movements later, or if it's an asteroid where they can't attack when they land on it. I have to play a lot more cautiously.
Right. I just think it makes games a little less interesting when players don't really have to maneuver around obstacles.
Yeah, I'm hoping that either we'll see a trend back towards debris fields and asteroids, or that they'll introduce new obstacles that people want to take that have a little bit more of a game impact. I just don't want to...
Yeah, I need, like, asteroid clusters that let me take like nine asteroids, nine little asteroids or something.
Well, yeah, because I mean, like you said, it really does make the game more interesting, and I don't want to see that part of the strategy disappear from X-Wing, because now that these are available, if people just took all gas clouds all the time, I think that would really change the nature of X-Wing, and probably not for the better.
All right, but let's move on to what we flew. I stuck with the list I've been flying all season. Poe Dameron, Nian Nub, and Lulo Lampar. I messed around with the talent I had on Poe because I wasn't that happy with Trick Shot due to gas clouds negating a lot of that value.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried Heroic because Kevin Lines suggested it, and it was just the worst thing ever.
I think that was Kevin.
Not a fan of that Heroic card. So
I think that was Kevin trying to sabotage you because, I'd even talked to him about it. Heroic's just, I think it's just a bad card. I had gone back and forth on it before. Like, at first I thought it was terrible. And then I was like, oh, if you put enough of them in a list, like if you're running a list with a lot of A-Wings, it actually might work out okay. Cause like, you know, eventually you're going to roll all blanks. But at this point, I've really come to the determination that I would literally rather not run any talent on a ship than run Heroic on it. Save that point.
Yeah,
get the extra
bit. I think that would be fine. I think I'm going to go back to Trick Shot because I did have a lot of opportunities where I think it would have been meaningful.
Yeah, because I mean, it doesn't make your shots worse when you're firing through gas clouds. It just means that they're more likely to be able to modify the extra dice they're getting from the obstruction.
I did have a pretty fun round three match.
Oh, I'm sure it was fun for you.
Yeah, it was great.
At least you broke the curse. So in round three, Carson and I, really unfortunately, we were both 2-0 at the time, got paired against each other, which is never pleasant, especially when you're playing against the person who drove you to the event and is hosting you for the weekend.
So you did the right thing and fell on your sword. Yeah, so Tim and I got paired round three. It was a pretty good game.
No, it was fine. It was like it was really tough for me because I was running Obi-Wan with a 304th Battalion pilots, which meant your initiative six and two initiative fives with a bid had a pretty good positional advantage on me.
Yep.
And I did the best I could. I mean, I have a lot of firing arcs, so I can start shooting. I clipped some shields off of Lulo pretty early on, which was really nice, and then did very little damage thereafter.
Yeah, it's funny. We like played twice the night before, just to brush the dust off our lists, make sure we were remembering all of our triggers. And so it was kind of funny to settle it and see who won the best of three.
Yeah, right. Because you won that first practice, I won the second. Well, this breaks the curse though of me always beating you when the game matters. So I think that's a good change for you.
Absolutely. And no complaints here. It was also pretty funny looking over at the cut and seeing the people who beat me still there doing very well. My first loss was to Mitchell Hurst, the finalist of the event. And my second loss was on stream to Andrew Knuckles, who won the whole event. Both are pretty good games. Both definitely deserved to meet me there. Mitchell had really good quick draw play against me and had a very amazing quick draw play on stream. And Andrew Knuckles' list just does a crazy amount of damage, and my ships did not live long.
Yeah, a huge congratulations to those two guys. Andrew Knuckles for winning the event. Shout out to the Birmingham Barons. And also a huge congratulations to Mitchell Hurst for making that final table, because at an event this size, that really is an accomplishment. Even on my end, my second loss, obviously my first one was to you. The second loss, my opponent ended up making the top 16, so I can't feel too bad about that. So you did have a pretty good run. You went 4-2, just like me. It was a shame, though. After you beat me, I really just hoped that you would make the cut just so that it would all be worth it, but, you know.
I know, I let you down.
At the end of the day, though, I don't feel too bad about both of us having winning records at this event. Feels pretty good. My Obi-Wan 304th Battalion squad worked out pretty well, actually. It's pretty stripped down because it's just three of those generic Initiative 2 arcs, and then Obi-Wan with that 7B title and R2 Astromech to regain some hit points. And it actually worked out pretty good. I have no bid, which was tricky in some scenarios, but the reason I brought the list was the two lists I was most scared of would be the Four Phantoms build and the Fat Han build. My strategy against Four Phantoms was that Obi-Wan can recycle focus tokens, he's got the Force, so he's really effective against Juke, and he's at Initiative 5, so he does a good job of, even if I don't have a bid, I can often get behind the Phantoms and start to fire at them from outside of arc, which I really need to do because 12 attack dice coming at me is going to tear Obi-Wan apart. I also don't mind the 104th Battalion pilots to take on Han Solo builds, because even though Han often moves after, I have the advantage of that each of those ships has two ways to fire, firing out the front or back, so I can spread a pretty wide net. And most of the fat Han builds I've played against don't have great defensive options other than the Han reroll. So usually if you can get two hits out, you're going to start doing some damage. I didn't have to actually play any Hans. I did play a Phantom build that I won against, and that was a pretty tough matchup. But I was able to get Obi behind, which was the main strategy, and then engage with the arcs in such a way that one of them didn't get killed in the first volley. And that's kind of my strategy, is that if the initiative two arcs can start shooting, deal out some damage, and I don't lose one of them against the initiative four Phantoms, I have a pretty good chance of running away with the other arc, shooting out the back, and then bringing in the back two and Obi-Wan to start laying out the rest of the damage. I did definitely have a problem in our game against you, given that you had that bid and the initiative five or better ships.
Right. I mean, you can cast a wide arc on those engagements with all those arc 170s. But after that opening engagement, it does become a lot tougher to put multiple firing arcs, especially the three attack dice firing arcs on the opponent.
Yeah, and I had a decent amount of I-5s I had to take on. I played a Rexler Brath right away, TIE Defender, Captain Nim was there. And then at the very last game I played for the day, had a Duchess, a Merrick Steel, Hal Runner, and Mauler Mythyl all in it with a slight bid. So none of those were great for me. But I mean, it actually put me in a position where I had to be, you know, not relying on being really reactive with Obi-Wan. I had to like make very careful maneuvers, plot my steps very carefully, and really make sure I was bringing in those ARC 170s as the artillery so that Obi-Wan wouldn't get caught out on his own and just annihilated. End of the day, though, the thing that really ruined both my system open event and the hyperspace trial were just these efficiency lists. The one that knocked me out of the day one event was a Darth Vader paired up with three new squadron alpha class Starwings with ion cannon. And it wasn't even their like offense or the ion effects that really took me down. It was just the fact that they've got seven hit points backed up by two dice and a focus token. That's really hard to lay damage down on reliably.
Yeah, I saw you really struggle to finish off some Star Wings there. You know, seven hit points to agility. It takes a little while.
I mean, it was a reasonably close game, but yeah, at the end of the day, I just, you know, the Star Wings being able to use that slam action, reposition, still be able to fire the cannon thanks to their configuration, and then slam right over those gas clouds and still, you know, be able to take the advanced slam action. That was pretty rough. I think, you know, overall, though, for the two of us, I mean, I think we both kind of came to the same conclusion that the metagame wasn't as settled as we expected.
Right. I mean, and that's sort of why I stuck with my list in part, was it is really good for, you know, playing against a diverse amount of lists. And it has, you know, fine, okay matchup against Phantoms and the really fast Han Solos. Because, you know, I played, you know, one Han Solo in my six rounds, but I played, you know, a whole bunch of random lists. And so I was pretty pleased with my list choice there.
Yeah, I think your list actually has a lot of tools so you can respond to things pretty effectively. That's kind of one of the merits of it, is that even if you play something you don't know what to do against, you have so many choices you can make along the way and a lot of different abilities that you can adapt to different matchups. My list right. actually kind of goes the other direction, I think, because I don't have that many upgrade cards. I don't have that many unique options. I mostly have just a lot of bulk, a lot of hit points, some medium base barrel rolls, and some force that I can use to take on my opponent.
I mean, the overall meta trend was definitely towards efficiency. You know, we saw Phantoms do well. We saw, you know, any Rebel Leia list do pretty well. We saw those Starwings do well. Those are pretty efficient platforms as well.
Yeah, I think maybe the biggest lesson I learned from the weekend was to not undervalue this whole class of ships that has like two agility and, you know, 6 to 8 hit points. Talking things like the Alpha class, like T-65 and T-70 X-Wings, and the U-Wing too. That thing really surprised me time after time about how hard it was to kill.
Right, and those U-Wings with Leia just spin like a top.
I guess I'm going to have to try them sometime. Before we go, we just want to give one more huge shout out to the whole team at Cascade Games who put on this system open. The two I've been to so far that they've put on have been fantastic events, very well run. They've got some good people working for them. So a huge thank you to them, and a huge thank you to the Marshal Ian Hamp and the other team of judges he had with him.
Got a shout out to my buddy Ken Cho of Mile High Squadron, who made top 16 with double Sith Infiltrators.
Yeah, that list is pretty intimidating. I don't even know how I'd handle it. So good on him for making the cut with that.
Yeah, Ken did pretty great up until he ran into Radio TCX's own John McDermott, who flew Vader, Soontir, and Whisper to a top 8 finish.
Yeah, I was actually super proud of John. He's an amazing X-Wing player. If you've been listening to the show for a while, you've heard him on here guest hosting a couple times when Carson misses out. But this was actually his first major event outside of Worlds, like the first X-Wing event he'd traveled to. So it was really awesome to see him do so well in this first runaround. Also, a huge shout out to the other Minnesota players who came out. Vic Yang, Ernest Pacias, and Tom Strom all did really well, had winning records. Ernie made top 16, actually, so he did a really good job.
Yeah, so we'll have to have John on here pretty soon to talk about his run. But yeah, just a big shout out to everyone who put on the event and all my opponents who were just the best, really fun games with everybody. Thank you.
And thank you all for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/RadioTCX and like our Facebook page. We really appreciate every like we get, and we're quickly approaching 1,000 likes on Facebook. So if you want to contribute to that, it only takes a second. Feel free to do so.
You can follow the show on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review, along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast and why others would be interested in listening.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/RadioTCX and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means so much to us.
And I do want to, before we close the show here, give a huge thank you to everyone who's listened to the show over the last several years. We actually just crossed the 300,000 download mark for the show, which is, I mean, amazing to me. When we started the show, I never would have thought we would have reached this point. But thank you all so much for listening and supporting the show these past few years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's awesome to be able to do this every week and to meet all of the listeners of the show at these events. It's just really great. Glad we get to be a part of it.
And again, guys, thank you so much for listening this week, and we will talk to you next week.